This program is a paid presentation for American Financial and Retirement Services, LLC, and is brought to you by American Financial and Retirement Services, LLC. The opinions expressed on the program by the host, host guest, and call-in listeners are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not represent the opinions of management of this station or Brazos Communications West, LLC, who bear no responsibility or liability for the program's content. The purpose of this radio program is intended to inform the public on financial planning issues and investment products for qualified individuals and investors. Many of the topics and opinions discussed may be of a personal nature, and some people may disagree with or find opinions expressed on this program objectionable. Before you invest, you should consult with financial advisors and review the program prospectus and its risks.
97 Gold presents Your Money with Fay Bagby. Sound advice to help your money grow. Now, here's Fay Bagby on 97 Gold.
Good morning.
Good morning, Fay. How are you?
Well, I'm wonderful.
Fantastic. It's the fair in town this weekend, and so it's going to be wonderful in the mid 80s, maybe upper 80s a little bit.
Are you sure about that?
I'm 80s? Pretty sure. At least it won't be getting wet.
All right.
Not like down in Houston or Corpus Christi or anything like that. So.
They may not even be there after this.
They may not. No.
I'm a little worried about that.
Yeah. So here we'll be thankful for our blessings and get out and enjoy the fair and the weather and all that. So.
What do you think will be at the fair? Tell me about it.
Oh, the thing I love is you know, you're like 2 miles out and you can already start to smell the fried things, the whether it's the corn dogs or the funnel cakes or the fried Oreos or whatever, you start to smell all the food cooking, and then you smell like the onions and the hot dogs and the hamburgers, and you smell all these things, and it takes you right back to when you were a kid.
And do you order one of everything?
I do my best.
Oh goodness, I love that.
And anything on a stick, I love anything on a stick.
Oh my gosh, are they going to have new things this year?
I don't think so.
Well, the one in Dallas is.
Really?
I can't wait to find it. You know, every year they have something really neat.
Really?
Oh, my gosh. You know, when they had the fried ice cream, that was interesting. I mean, they've had every kind of new thing in the world. And every year they come up with something new to add to theirs.
See, I'm partial to the old classics.
Yeah.
You can't go wrong with all that stuff.
Hey, Fletcher's Corn Dog is the best in the world.
It is.
It's the biggest in the world, too.
Of course it is.
Oh, my gosh. So it's going to be an exciting week.
Yeah, it's going to be fantastic.
Oh, yeah. Are you going to ride all the rides like the kids?
Well, I get nervous with the ones that go up really high.
Oh, yeah.
And really fast. And if it goes upside down, I really don't do that. So, no.
Okay, no, that's a no.
I think the only ride I'm doing is the ride in the car back home.
Okay. But you're going to go out and walk through the everything.
I love it. I love to see all the rides, and I see the people, and it's just a whole, you just soak in the whole thing at the fair. It's
watching all the kids is fun.
Yeah, it is.
And the little kids are asking their parents for every kind of food in the world.
Of course they are.
And you know their stomachs are going to hurt later.
Yes, they are. And that's part of it.
That's it. And but it's worth it.
Of course, yeah.
Every bit of it.
Yeah, it's a special memory is what it is.
It is. And everybody needs it. I don't care how old you are.
Yeah.
It'll take you back a long way.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. Well, and that's good this week, and I'm glad you're saying it's going to be in the 80s.
Uh-huh.
That's encouraging.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, it's been pretty hot.
Yeah, you don't want to go to the fair when it's like 125.
No.
It's just not fun.
People be dropping like flies.
Yeah. So it'll be just about perfect weather for it.
I like that.
Yeah, it's going to be great.
The weather here should still hold.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't think we're going to get a lot of the problems they're going to have down on the coast.
Yeah. We may get some of the you know, leftover showers that may meander up here, but for the most part, I don't. I think they, at least the last time I saw, and I didn't see it this morning, but I think last night they were saying that it may come in, you know, it's coming to like Corpus and then maybe turn up to the northeast, so. It won't make it all the way out here in West Texas.
That's good.
Yeah.
I don't think we need that.
No, we don't.
I think we can do without it.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. Well, let's give out the phone number.
All right.
It's 877-588-3330. And we're at 3105 Big Spring, right next to Ivy Cottage.
And, of course, you can always go to the website at AmericanFinancialMidland.com. You can find case studies. You can see past investments, see exactly what people have been making over the last several years. You can read testimonials about other people's experiences. And this is really all about growing your money so you can retire happy, wealthy, and early. And I'm not sure which is the most important part, the happy part, the wealthy, or the early. But you want to have all of them.
I think everybody says early.
Yeah. But not too early, because too early retirement is not good.
No, you get you retire too early and you don't have enough money usually.
Yeah.
So don't go down that road.
Mm-hmm.
But everybody, you know, is working toward that goal. We also had two policies that are now in the bank.
Really?
The Reed policy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it matured about 6 weeks ago. That money has now hit the bank. So
great.
Those people have got money in their accounts now.
Uh-huh. And that's what we like to hear, is all about making money.
That's right. And, you know, we've had 28 maturities this year.
Are you serious?
28.
That's
over $40 million.
Wow. And that, and we're not even, we're into what? We're just now at the end of August.
Yeah. So we've got a few more months. We may have some more.
We still have September, October, November, December. So we still have 4 months left in the year. And I don't know what the normal pattern is, but do you have 28 policy maturities throughout a regular full 12-month period, or is this like more aggressive?
I think it's more aggressive. I can't remember last year, mm-hmm. you know, how many matured.
Yeah.
But this is a lot.
Wow.
A lot.
$40 million.
And dollar-wise, it's a lot of money.
It's a lot of money.
Yes.
My goodness. So it's a lot of money to be made by a lot of people.
That's
and
right.
The great thing about this is that there's enough of the pie to go around for everybody.
There is.
It's not like there's a certain number, and then once it's up, it's up.
No, because we've bought 54 policies so far this year.
Wow.
And that's a lot of policies to buy.
That is.
So you know that we've got a lot of people in policies.
Wow.
Yes. And we're putting them more in every day. We've got a bunch of them that are coming out of legal,
mm-hmm.
which we'll be able to put people in this next week and the next week. And we'll be doing it again. You know, it's hard to keep up with policies. We're doing it every day. You know, we're bidding on policies every day. We're closing policies every week.
Mm-hmm.
So it just goes round and round.
Well, and that's the wonderful part. It's not like you invest and then you stop. You know, I mean, you're always bidding on new policies. There's always new investments coming in. There's always new investors coming in to invest in those policies. Policies are always maturing. People are always taking that money that they make and the profits, reinvesting them in other policies. It's just this big giant wheel that keeps on turning, and people just keep making money.
I know it. And this year, I think they've made more money than they've ever made. I think most of them have had three maturities this year.
Really?
Now, there's a few haven't. There's a few that their policies have gone long.
Yeah.
So they haven't made anything this year, but they'll still make a profit when their policies mature.
Yeah, and so it's just a waiting game. That's all it is.
You just go about your business, and then you get the email or the call that the policy's matured.
Yeah.
I had a lady in this week, and they were putting more money with me. And she said, when she got the call on London, she didn't even believe it because they had just got the paper signed. And she got the call. The guy has passed away, and she thought, that can't be.
Wow.
And sure enough, it was. You know, we've had those two this year. That one matured right after we were trying to get everything signed.
Mm-hmm.
The other one was 2 months.
Wow, that's
and we've
fast.
Never had that happen.
That is really close.
It was real close. And, of course, you know, we had one that since it wasn't an A-rated company, we couldn't do it. And that guy passed away right afterwards.
Oh.
Yeah, I've always regretted not getting that policy.
Yeah. But, I mean, you always have to deal with those A-rated companies because this is probably, I'm guessing, an exception to the rule. Is, you know, even if you – they were A-rated. Is this the one that was A-rated and got bumped down to B?
Yes, it was bumped down to B. But somebody has bought it, and it was going back up to an A.
Mm-hmm.
But the regulators hadn't, you know, pronounced it A yet.
Yeah.
And our attorney said, no, you cannot do it.
I mean, it's still better to be safe than sorry.
We have to be safe because it's not our money. It's our investors' money.
Exactly.
So we have to do, you know, the tightest deal we can do.
Yeah.
And anyway, I'm just saying a lot of them are coming due so early.
Mm-hmm.
And we've had a lot of early maturities this year.
Yeah. And I mean, it's not normal. So, I mean, this has been an exceptional year.
It has been.
But it's been kind of, you know, as I go back and I review, you know, some of the statistics we've been talking about over the last several months, it seems like it's been a somewhat of a consistent trend for this year. And it may not be, you know, a long-term thing, but it seems like consistently policies are, it's not just one or two random here and there. It's been quite a few in a row.
Yes, it has.
That have matured early.
So we're working hard to get more policies As I said, we've got a lot of them coming out of legal next week. Mm-hmm. We'll be getting people in those. I know it's taken us some time on some policies, but we're doing the best we can, you know, to keep everybody invested.
Yeah.
And they can't make this much money anywhere else.
No. So, no, even with these policies that go over and, you know, the people are waiting, like you were talking about a minute ago, it's not like the stock market where it's going to go down.
No, it's not going to go down. The value will hold.
It's just they just wait a little bit longer.
Yes, most of them, the premiums are small,
yeah.
So it will not hurt them. Now, we still got those old ones on the old people. Bless their heart.
The old people.
I know, bless their heart. They're going to outlive me and you.
Yeah, yeah.
I am worried about that. I mean, my gosh. It's just a shame that someone talked us into those that were 90 years old.
Well, those were policies that you'd gotten early on.
We bought them early on, didn't know any better. We bought them. We were told they were going to come due real quick. 90-year-olds don't come due real quick.
No, you quickly learn there's a huge difference between an elderly person and a sick person.
That's right. And elderly people are not sick. They're just elderly.
Yeah. If you're in your 80s or 90s, you're going to be kicking for a long time.
That's right. And we love them, but we don't want to buy their policies.
No.
And the ones we bought, we're hoping these will pass quickly.
Yeah.
And I don't think that's going to happen. I had hope, but, Lord, they've just lasted on and on. And once we're out of that, yes, we'll never do anything like that again.
Yeah, and you haven't bought in policies of elderly folks quite a while.
No, long time.
It's been a while, yeah. So when you go to look at a policy and you're debating, okay, do we want to bid on this or not? There's a number of things that you look at so that these things don't happen. And the wonderful thing is that you learned you took your bumps early on in the process, and so now you have a list of things that you're going to look at to make sure that those things don't happen.
That's right. First of all, first thing I look at is see how old you are.
Yeah.
You know, make sure you're not elderly. Mm-hmm. Then the next thing, are you obese? That's another thing. And then make sure it's stage 4 cancer, unless there's one cancer that can be stage 3 that will kill you. But the others are stage 4. And then we look to see, has it metastasized? If it's already spread all over your body, you don't have a very big chance.
Yeah.
And then we make sure, have they resected it? Means, did they operate on it? It'll give you 2 years usually. If it's inoperable, it's going to be faster.
Yeah.
So we know all the signs to look for,
mm-hmm.
and that's the guidelines we follow.
And see, this is kind of it's a strange crossroads to be at, because obviously nobody roots for the policyholder to pass away.
No, that's not the goal. For that, no.
We obviously want people to live long, healthy lives. The situation is that when somebody does get diagnosed with stage 4 cancer, a lot of times they need some quick money so that they can do a number of things.
Mostly doctor bills.
Yeah.
I mean, because some of the cancer treatments are $10,000 a month.
Wow.
So unless you have a lot of money to lay aside, you're going to need this.
Yes.
People who don't have a big policy, they're doing it straight to get the money for the treatment.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if it's $250,000, $350,000, they need the cash.
Yeah.
The big policies, they just want to settle the estate now.
Yeah.
And I'm going to tell you something, that's not a bad idea.
No, it's really not, because, you know, we hear all the time about how, you know, somebody passes away and then, you know, the family members come out of the woodwork and it's like, well, I'm a third cousin removed and so-and-so promised me this. And then you're tied up in court battles. It gets tied up not only legally, but it also causes tension and you know,
bad
shoves
feelings
wedges.
Forever.
Exactly. Your families break up over these things.
Let me tell you something. As I've mentioned this 2 or 3 times, I'm trustee of that one estate.
Mm-hmm.
I would never do it again.
Yeah.
I thought it was simple. I thought it was easy.
No.
And the people that are not getting anything, that she had changed her mind, changed the beneficiary of one of her annuities, they still believe they should have something. So we're going round and round. How can people come back and want something when they know that person does not want you to have anything?
How can they possibly have a legal leg to stand on?
They don't. But by golly, they're demanding to see the documents.
So gee whiz, they say whatever they want to say, and then it just gets held up in the court because things they have to investigate, they have to look into it, and so it doesn't matter what's in. They can be in black and white, but if somebody stands up and says, hey!
Yeah, This boy had done some work for her across the street. Mm-hmm. And he came over and said, well, I'm sure she left me something. I'm sure it's there. And I'm thinking, she didn't leave him anything. She paid him in money.
Here's oh, you provide the service, I pay you right here and now, not, you know, when I pass away.
That's right. But they all think they deserve something.
Wow.
And I can't figure it out.
So to avoid all of this, a lot of people will just go ahead and before
they die,
they pass
get it
away.
Done.
Yeah, so that there's nothing left for people to complain about or...
Everything's already been divided up and you can tell the other relatives.
Yeah, yeah.
So, you know, we've already settled the estate. Don't even think about
settled, done, and over. And at that point, nobody can come back and say anything. Right?
No, because it's already done.
Okay.
And you had to have been a good mind because you're still there.
Yeah, yeah.
You can't say after you're dead, well... You know, their mind wasn't good. They couldn't have possibly have done this.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's amazing.
Wow. There are so many horror stories of things that happen after somebody passes away, things that happen with their estate and who needs what.
See,
so.
Unless I had seen this in black and white, I wouldn't have believed it.
Yeah.
Because I didn't think it happened. I didn't think people were that greedy.
I do. I wouldn't.
But now
either.
I know they're the greediest things on earth.
Let's start naming names. Who's on Santa's naughty list?
Well, we learn a lot in life.
Yeah. Yeah, we
and
do.
And then we have real sweet people that would never do that, wouldn't even think about it.
Well, I think most people probably they're when a loved one passes away or a friend, a special friend, when they pass away, they're probably more concerned with, you know, oh my gosh, you know, I've lost my loved one or my friend or whatever it is. And probably the money is not really a main concern. So.
Yeah, but sometimes it is.
But there's that little wedge of nasty people.
That's right.
This is Your Money with Faye Bagby. The phone number is
877-588-3330. And you know, my idea is what? There should be a cartoon on this.
Yeah?
It would make a wonderful cartoon. You know, with them pulling things out of the house, you know, and getting in the car and dragging it along.
Kind of like the old Flintstones, just drag whatever you can.
That's right. Whatever you can get out of that house, just go for it.
Yeah, just go for it.
Yeah, I think that'd make a great cartoon.
You really don't need to be in charge of anybody's estate.
That's right.
Oh, wow. This is all about growing your money so you can retire happy, wealthy, and early. And that's really what this is all about. It's about retirement, and it's also about helping other people. So when somebody does get in this situation and they're diagnosed with cancer and they choose to sell their policy, whether it is, you know, to go ahead and settle an estate or if it's to go ahead and pay for medical bills, they need somebody there to go ahead and purchase the policy. And that's where you come in.
That's where we come in. The providers, licensed providers that bring us policies, send us over policies every day. Here's a policy for you to bid on. Mm-hmm. We don't get all these bids. You know, we probably lose a third of them.
Yeah.
But we do get a lot of them. And so we bid on these policies. If we're high bidder, then we start the legal work.
Mm-hmm.
And once the contracts are signed, that they're going to sell us their policy. You know, that takes 2 or 3 weeks.
Yeah.
Yeah, because these people don't get in a hurry, you know. They're always hoping they'll get a better offer.
Oh, sure.
A lot of times, even after they've signed with us. So, as you know, they have the rescission period. They've got 15 days after we close. They can change their mind. And we've had some do it, as you know. So, we have to deal with that. Then we put up the escrow. We go to escrow. Put all the escrow money in that account. We do a spreadsheet and give that to the bank. Say, okay, these are the people we're putting in it. So they know who all to pay when it comes due.
So all this is all mapped out before anything goes very far at all.
Oh, yeah. All this has to be done in advance.
So at some point, if say you buy a policy X and you have 20 people in it. I'm just throwing out random numbers here. Say you have 20 people in it and the policy is $1 million. You know exactly who gets what percentage when it's all said and done, so that when the policy does mature, all it is, it's a matter of just expediting the paperwork, and then, boom, checks appear in people's accounts.
That's exactly right. So when everything's said and done, the premiums are paid every time, all during the time they're alive. The bank is responsible for getting those premiums out. We escrow the premiums, but the bank has to pay them for us, so they know who to pay. And then first thing you know, the person has passed away. We're notified that they have passed away. We send out an email to all those clients, and then we sit and wait for the check.
So people know in advance, is when somebody passes away, the policy matures, you send out the email. So people know, hey, I'm about to get X number of dollars put in my account within the next couple of weeks.
Yes, they sure do.
So what do they do in that time period? Are they planning their next investment? Are they celebrating?
No, they wait till it gets there. They'll send me a little note and say, put me in for the next policy.
Okay.
And we do. We're thinking about them. And we're getting other policies ready during that time.
So then at that point, you're planning on, okay, so when this money comes into the account and people get paid, when it comes in, this is where we're going to put it next. So the ball is always moving.
It has to be, yes. We're always moving forward, the next policy and the next one, mm-hmm. Because we need them all the time. You know, you can't ever slack down.
Yeah.
Because there's so many maturities.
Yeah.
That you've got to get ready for those all the time. And once we find out one's matured, we're working on those next policies right away.
Yeah.
To get them in it.
And that's what's really important because, you know, you start growing. It's almost like bootstrapping,
yeah.
Where you make a profit, reinvest it, and turn that profit into a bigger profit, and then the ball just keeps going that way. That's what most people do, I assume. They don't just come in, invest in one, and then
no,
get out.
Remember, all of ours, 98% of ours is all IRAs.
Mm-hmm.
So this is for the long haul. This is for retirement.
Yeah.
This is not just a quick in and out.
Yeah.
So they're just waiting till they get ready to retire, then they'll start drawing money on this.
Mm-hmm.
They'll start taking their interest, or they'll take monthly payments or quarterly or whatever.
Okay. So say you have a random policy. Mm-hmm. Do you divide it up and say, okay, we're going to divide it into equal portions, and we need 30 people in this, and they're all going to get whatever percentage it is? Or does like,
everybody
if I
puts
wanted,
in a different amount.
Okay. So if I wanted to put in a little bit more, I could go ahead and do that.
People do it all the time.
Really?
I'll say, well, we're asking you to put in 100. Uh-huh. Oh no, I want to put in 160, or I want to put in 200, and our large investors can do this.
So what happens if you have a policy, and is there a lot of back and forth with a percentage amounts and what people put in, and then say some people come back and they want to put in more, and which
no,
reduces.
No, usually it's already done.
Okay,
yeah.
So there's not a lot of negotiation that goes on.
No, there's not really any negotiation. We just say, this is what we would recommend you put in.
Mm-hmm.
Let us know what your thoughts are, how much you want to put in. And then they'll come back and say, well, I've got more money in that. I'd really like to put more. I like the policy real well. So lots of times they really like one, and they're trying to get more in.
So what would that do to another investor? Would they
put in less? Yeah, the other one. They might only want to put 50 in,
mm-hmm.
or 65. There might not be room for them putting more.
Okay.
Because we have to add it up to see how much room we've got.
All right. Yeah. But there's room for everybody, and you can kind of have a little bit of freedom
as far
as... Well,
there's
room
for a certain amount of people in each policy.
Well, yeah.
There might only be room for 10.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes there's only room for 10, or a big policy, there's going to be room for like 30.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But people can... They can go a little bit more or a little bit less, whatever they're comfortable with.
That's right. It's all up to their comfort level.
Yeah. And that's what's really important is that nobody's, you have to do this and you have to do it by this date or anything like that.
No, the only thing they do have to do is let us know right away, or we will go right over them and go to somebody else.
So what happens if I'm an investor and say I'm in Maui and I don't have any cell service and the policy comes in and I'm on the list, I get an email, but I don't actually get it because I'm on vacation, not checking email. What do you do with my slot?
It goes right to somebody else.
Okay, so it still gets filled.
It's going to be filled because we got to, we're buying the policy,
mm-hmm.
and we've got to get it filled by a certain date.
Okay.
So we can't sit there and wait.
So then the next one that comes up, and say I'm back next week and then you have a new policy, could I get in that one instead?
Uh-huh. Yes.
Perfect. It's a nice, well-oiled machine you've got going here.
Well, it works pretty good.
Yeah, I would say so. This is Your Money with Faye Bagby. The phone number is...
It's 877-588-3330. And we're at 3105 Big Spring, right next to Ivy Cottage.
Your favorite store in the whole world.
My favorite store.
So when you're bidding on policies, how many other companies are you bidding against?
Oh, about four.
Okay.
There's only two big ones
All right.
that we're bidding against. Others are we can outbid them every day.
Okay, so and so I'm glad you said that, because I guess my whole point in wondering that is how easy is it? Do you basically have your pick of policies, the ones that you approve, to get in, or is it really a big struggle, you know, on the back end?
Well, it's always a struggle to get the really big policies.
Mm-hmm.
The little policies, we can bid and get those every day, and we do. Every day we'll get two or three of 250,000, you know, 500. But the ones we really want are those big ones, you know, 2 to 4 million. And we're bidding hard on those.
Because you can put more people in and get a bigger return.
People, returns are good. It depends what kind of cancer it is. If I'm bidding hard, it's usually pancreatic cancer,
mm-hmm.
you know, or stomach cancer.
But you won't bid on something to a point. You've got a threshold where you say, okay, if I bid any more than this number,
they're not going to make anything, and neither am I. Forget it.
You're out.
We're out.
Are there any policies that you just flat out reject?
Oh, yeah, I reject a lot of them.
So
if it says, it appears that they are now in remission.
That's one of the red flag words.
That is the worst thing you could say. We do not find any metastasis at this time.
Mm-hmm.
If they can't find it, you know, I can't find it.
Yeah.
So it's out.
So you're not going to bid on something that's risky.
I hope not.
Well,
you do not want to do any risk, let me tell you.
There are some risks, obviously,
there's
involved.
There's risk with every policy we write.
Sure.
But don't add to that risk.
Yeah. You don't do something stupid that would create higher chances of people not making what they should in the amount of time that they should.
That's right.
You're very smart about this. It's all very well calculated.
Well, you know, we've been at it a while now,
mm-hmm.
and so, you know, we know which ones to turn down.
Yeah.
And we do turn them down. But then there's some I really, really want, and I bid hard for them, and I try to bring them home.
So when you bid hard, what happens? Is everybody bidding low, and then
No, they're bidding high on those that I really want.
Okay.
And we have to give up some money.
So you've walked away from some really good potentially...
We have.
Policies. Wow.
And you know, we don't hardly ever do ALS, but we had one this week I really wanted.
Really?
It was end stage ALS. I mean, when it's end stage, it's not going to, they're not going to live 6 months.
Really?
But the bidding went too high.
So you'd walk away.
We had to walk away.
So what about it? Are you looking at, I mean, what was the, were they saying like 18 months, 24 months?
Oh, it would have been a lot less than that.
A lot less than that?
I figured it wasn't but 6 months. They were saying like 18 months.
Uh-huh.
I don't think so.
So everybody wanted that one.
Everybody wanted it. Because we don't usually ever bid on those. We only own a couple of those. We've had one mature this year, and we've got one that has not matured yet.
Mm-hmm.
But this one was already an end stage.
So it was going to happen pretty quick.
Yes, it was.
And everybody knew it.
Yes.
All right.
So we were really wanting that, but it went high. And that means those people are going to have just a tiny, tiny profit.
Yeah. Well, and that's got to be comforting for people, for your investors to know that, you know, you're not going to cut it so close that they're not going to make anything.
I mean, no.
That's not the whole point.
We wouldn't do that.
Yeah.
We don't ever do that.
Fantastic. So when you get a policy like this and you're looking at, you know, here's what we're looking at. We're looking at page 14. We're looking at, you know, what type of cancer they have, where it is, what kinds of treatment they've had, and all of that. What kinds of things really throw up those signs that say, I have got to have this policy?
Well, they're talking about that it's end stage. When mm-hmm. they say end stage, you know, it's not going to be very long.
What does end stage mean?
That means that disease has progressed almost as far as it's going to go before you pass away.
Okay, so it's aggressive.
It's at the end.
Yeah.
They're telling us it's the end of their life.
Okay.
So end stage, that's what it means.
All right.
And they will usually say end of life stage cancer.
Uh-huh.
And a lot of them, if it has metastasized to 4 or 5 places, it's not going to be long. If they say, okay, let's say it started in the esophagus and went to the stomach.
Mm-hmm.
Stomach cancer, you don't live very long. So, and then they say, okay, now it's went to the ribs. So it's all over the place. So they're not going to make a comeback.
Wow.
Okay. So, yes, those are the kind you want.
And so you look at page 14.
Our clients have to sign page 14 on every policy that they understand everything about the policy. First of all, who the people are, how old they are, what life insurance company it is, what their ratings are. Mm-hmm. And we know it's going to be A or above. And then the face amount of the policy, how much you've put in, how much you're going to make, what percentage that is. If it goes over, you know, what it's going to cost you in dollars and cents. And everything is laid out right there, and you have to sign for it.
And if it does go over, that's one of the risks.
That is a risk, because it could happen. We've got four or five that went over right now. And this doesn't usually happen, but it has.
And what that means is that people have to pay those premiums.
That's right, and until they die, until that person passes away.
So how much are we talking about, roughly? I know it always changes.
On the old ones, a lot.
Which is why we don't do old ones anymore.
That's right. On these others, it's not bad at all.
Mm-hmm.
I've got some that's $400, $100. I've got some that's
$43.
$43. I really do.
So on policies where people are making, I'm just throwing out random numbers here, say somebody's about to make $25,000 on their investment, a $400 premium payment is nothing.
No, it's not going to hurt them at all.
Okay. So it's not like this, if it does go over, it's going to wipe out anybody's
bank account. No, it's not going to happen.
Okay, good. So it's a risk, but
they can live with it.
Yeah.
It's doable.
Very manageable. You're not really even going to feel it. So, all right, that's one of the risks. If the policy goes over, what else?
The risk is if they needed cash real quick, you cannot get it because it's invested.
Okay.
And as long as it's invested, it's not, you can't get to the money. But when that policy matures, you can always take money out.
Okay.
So everybody knows that we make sure they have emergency money, that they have other monies.
So it is not liquid. This is not a paycheck. Again, keep in mind, this is all part of a long-term plan for retirement.
That's right. This is not,
you know, hit it once and then, you know, give me a paycheck.
No.
And this is something that you're going to plan out for, you know, over several years so that people are ready for retirement. It's just one small step in a large plan.
That's exactly right.
All right. Are there any other risks?
No, there's three risks. Mm-hmm. You know, the insurance company is the third one. If an insurance company went under, it would take you a little longer to get your money. But in Texas, we've never had a life company, you know, go under and everybody not get their money.
So, again, it's a risk, but it's probably not going to happen.
It's the smallest one in the world.
Wow.
I think.
Well, then I see no reason why. Is there something hidden that I'm missing here? Because
not that I know of.
I see nothing. And another thing we should point out is that not only are the three risks there, they're relatively low, but this is not something that goes up and down like the stock market. There's no loss of value anywhere.
No, you're not going to lose a value in that life policy.
Yeah.
You're going to get the face amount of that life policy.
A value of a life insurance policy does not have any bearing on what happens on the stock market or worldly events or anything else that's going on. It is its own entity inside its own self.
That's right. And think about this. It doesn't matter what's happening in Syria, Iran, Russia. None of that will affect your life policy. It's just simply a life policy.
Completely disconnected.
It's completely disconnected from world affairs.
So it's really, once you invest in a policy, it's just a matter of waiting.
That's right. Wait for it to mature and do another one.
So the worst part is, if you don't have any patience,
And it's diversified. All these people... I've got more than one policy. I think I've got maybe two or three that have just one. I shouldn't say that. But the rest of the people are very diversified. You know, their money is in several policies. They're in several life companies. Mm-hmm. They're not all in one life company. So they're very diversified.
So if one goes over and they have to pay $400 in a premium, then they're probably going to make it up and then some on another one that they're in.
That's right.
So their eggs are in many different baskets.
And hopefully... it won't come down, and they're the one that's in all the ones that go over.
Yeah.
You know, it should be, you know, maybe one policy or two, but the rest of them should be fine.
Yeah, it all evens out in the end.
It will even out.
Cool. It's a win-win.
And they need to quit procrastinating and come in and talk about it.
And that's one of the biggest things is people procrastinate until...
They do. Men procrastinate. Oh, bless their hearts. They procrastinate forever.
That's what we do.
Men do procrastinate.
We've made
all
a living
time
out of that.
And they'll tell me, Faye, I've been listening to you for a long time.
So get up, get off the couch, pick up the phone, unless you're driving, and get ready to make an appointment. Now, the office is closed today, But you will be available for appointments on Monday and next
Monday
week.
Monday through Friday.
All right. What's the phone number?
It's 877-588-3330. It's 877-588-3330.
This is Your Money with Faye Bagby, and every Saturday morning around this time, you bring in trivia, and you always have either fun things to do that I need to put on my bucket list or some interesting facts or something. What are we talking about today?
Well, we're talking about a very unusual case. You know, we've talked about Glen Rose before.
Yeah.
You know, we talked about the dinosaur tracks and all the famous things that have happened down there. But one thing we've not talked about, Glen Rose, way, way back, had all these mineral waters. They had a sanatorium down there.
Really?
Had a sanatorium. And Dr. George R. Milling, he started a magnetic healing hospital.
Really?
At the corner of Bernard and Cottonwood in 1911.
Whoa.
1911. He learned his trade in Putnam, Texas, under his brother, who was Roscoe Milling Sr. And they used this well-timed method of healing. Roscoe accented their Cherokee heritage by calling himself the Indian Adept. And he'd wear his hair long. So then his brother started wearing his long, where they would look like Cherokee Indians all the time.
All right.
And they were healers. And they opened this sanitarium. And their health gained knowledge from Sidney Weltmar, and he had a magnetic institute in Missouri. So he taught them how to do all this. And then these same doctors, they guaranteed, gained their inspiration from Franz Mesmer. He's the father of magnetic healing.
Really?
Magnetic healing. We never heard of that, you know?
No.
And he believed that each person had an invisible magnet fluid, that if it was blocked, then sickness would come upon that person. If that magnetic part of your body got blocked, you were going to get sick. And he used magnets at first to stimulate the magnetic fluid in us. And later he learned that he himself had the ability to produce the same power that the magnets had.
Really?
He's doing all this. And then he mostly used his hands. He'd pass over a body under this massage to create this field. And he came known as mesmerism. Mesmerism. And the formula for magnetic healing in Glen Rose, and they used it. They combined this element of psychology and hypnotism, mineral water therapy, or faith healing, whichever was working the best.
Uh-huh.
And he charmed and did all this charisma. And they found him to be of heroic proportions in Glen Rose.
Really?
Oh, yeah. And he drew scores of people to Glen Rose. They were suffering all kinds of ailments. And they'd come to his sanatorium.
Uh-huh. And he would heal them.
He was going to heal them. Now, we don't know what happened to him. It never tells about that. And he was a charmer.
Mm-hmm.
Very impulsive. But there were charges being brought against him all the time for breaking the law. The sheriff once charged him with breaking the speed limit when he drove his hopmobile down Bemard Street at 18 miles an hour.
Ooh, a whole 18.
He broke the speed limit. Then the sheriff charged him another complaint of practicing medicine without a license.
Oh.
And he wasn't a licensed doctor, of course. He just used that. And he would charge for medical help. He said, well, if I can't charge for medical help, not being a real doctor, I'll charge him room and board. So he would charge him room and board for his services. Then the next year, he built that famous sanatorium.
Yeah.
It was on the corner of Bernard and Mustang. And it didn't necessarily mean a place with mental problems. Oh, no. It was physical problems you had to have.
Yeah.
And he would treat him for tuberculosis even at the sanatorium.
Really?
Whatever he could find to treat him for, it made money. And he was doing pretty well. And he was subject for all kinds of penalties. Then 2 years later, at the hands of a jealous husband, he passed away. The husband killed him.
Oh, no.
The something went wrong, you know?
Clearly something went wrong.
Something went wrong.
That's one way to put it.
And then Lee Lane, he was the owner of the Ford company there. He bought the sanatorium and turned it into Milling. The heirs, Mr. Milling, Mrs. Milling, all of them, they turned the sanitarium building into the Hotel Carlsbad, named after the Carlsbad Australia Waters and Spa.
Oh.
Oh, yeah. During this time, it became a fad to use petrified wood for building. I wouldn't have thought of that, would you?
No.
They were using all kinds of petrified wood. So the sanitarium building received a veneer and brick and petrified wood.
Huh.
Can you imagine? Then in the 30s, Lenny Lane bought the hotel from his father's heirs. Then they called it the Lane Hotel. And so each time somebody would do something different to this place, you know, they had to say, well, it's not a sanitarium anymore. It's a hotel now.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
And then Roland Bird came from New York Museum of Natural History. He came to Glenrose to dig up the dinosaur tracks. And he lived at the hotel. So a lot of famous people would live at this place and do all kinds. Then Dr. Hanna, he was a MD, he set up practice in 41 in the building. And, of course, he moved there from Quanah. And he was leasing the property for a hospital. And he had an operating room and all this. He was actually using x-rays.
Really?
Yeah. So then Dr. Hanna, he moved his to a new one-story building. Of course, they were all on Barnard Mill Road. This is where all this happened. Then in the 40s, they purchased the sanatorium again and reestablished magnetic healing.
And it's coming back.
It came back again. And this time, he renovated the buildings and built two small cottages and a wishing well to go with it.
For healing, of course.
For healing, of course. You put your money in it and you will be healed. I mean, that's the way it was working down there. And they were just doing all kinds of things. Then finally, in 1971, they called it a rooming house because of the two little cottages. But it's a funny thing that this sanitarium was so famous. They have a museum there now.
Wow.
About this doctor, the healing, and all this magnetic healing he was doing. So if anybody wants to see this famous museum, it's in Glenrose.
I can't believe he got pulled over for speeding at 18 miles an
18
hour.
18 miles an hour is against the law.
Did they? How did they? I mean, surely they didn't have like radar guns in 1911, did
no,
they?
No. But he saw him speeding because the car was moving, you know. And he said, well, I've got to get him, you know. And they fined him for everything they could.
Wow.
But I don't know how this magnetic healing worked.
I don't know.
They were putting hands on him.
Uh-huh.
And they were somehow this magnetic field would go over the people. And they were keeping that hospital full.
Wow.
Can you imagine from 1911 on up?
Maybe it was just so weird that people thought, wow, this is so strange. There must be something to this. And they flocked here from all over.
They did. And can you imagine way back then coming there? I don't know how they got word of it.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, that is true. It's not like they had the internet or TV or anything like that.
Probably not any newspapers.
No, probably not.
Maybe telegraph. Maybe they used the telegraph.
Well, yeah, that might be. Now, and also, the medicine was much different in the early 1900s, too. So.
Oh, yeah, and they had people that came by, you know, the horse and buggy, and would sell you all kinds of medicine, you know.
Yeah.
And if you didn't die, you know, you figured you were doing good.
And it was a success. It may not cure you, but it didn't kill you.
That's right. If it didn't kill you, you just went in and took it. I heard stories of them giving it to their horses.
Really?
Yeah. If the horse is sick, I'd give him some of that liniment.
Oh.
Yeah. So it was an interesting time. And this wasn't the only sanatorium. I understand we had several sanatoriums back there.
Really?
With the mineral water.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. I thought it was very interesting.
Well, I think even today, sometimes people do, what do we call it now? To be politically correct, alternative therapies for things. And so I think even the concept is still around in some form even today.
Did you know that a doctor in a hospital cannot recommend vitamins and all that?
No, really?
I did not know it till my son had open heart surgery. And the surgeon told him, said, there's a lot of things you could probably use now. But said, I can't even recommend any of them. She said a doctor's not allowed to.
Lawsuit purposes?
Yeah.
Wow.
I thought that was strange.
That is strange. It seems like vitamins are harmless.
Well, I've read lately where people have taken so many supplements, it's affected their liver.
Really?
Yeah, a lot of times people say, well, if one does any good, what would a handful do?
Well, sure. If a little is good, more must be better.
That more must be better. Now, they're suffering because it is affecting their liver. They've taken too much.
Wow. I didn't know that.
That's what I read.
I always thought vitamins were just vitamins and they were natural. You take them and they don't hurt anything.
That's what I thought, too.
Huh.
But they said that nowadays, under fitness, people are taking so much stuff.
Wow.
That they're overdoing it.
Well,
they're going too far.
So we need to just really go back to growing our own food and vegetables, getting out, work the land, do some physical labor, grow your own stuff, and you'll be fine.
Well, you are a dreamer. Boy, what a dreamer.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. You're not going to go far with that one.
No. I probably shouldn't be writing books about these types of things.
No, I don't think so. I don't think it would sell well, really.
No, probably not.
No.
Wow. Oh, that's fantastic. This is Your Money with Faye Bagby. The phone number is?
It's 877-588-3330. That's 877-588-3330. And you need to quit procrastinating and call us, and we'll tell you what all to bring over, and we'll sit down and have a conversation.
So when people do procrastinate, has there been some kind of event that makes them finally pick up the phone and call and get started? Or
maybe it's their wife talking about it, saying, you know, Junior, have you called back?
Junior?
Yeah.
You call your husband Junior, and that's going to spark some kind of reaction.
I thought so.
It may not be calling Faye is the first reaction, but eventually we'll get there.
I think so. Their head will come up.
Yeah, it will.
Their head will pop right up.
You got our attention. You call us Junior.
That's right.
So people procrastinate. They listen. I know they hear you all the time on Saturday mornings. And I know we've had tons of people come in and say, hey, I've been listening for years and this and that. And I wrote down the number and I put it in my jeans and I put it in my truck and I lost it and forgot it. And then they finally come in and then they say, okay, I am 46 years old. I want to retire when I'm 61.
That's a good time, 61. But not before 60, please.
No, you get bored.
They will. You know, we've had three or four of them do it this year and one last year. And I keep thinking about this.
Yeah.
And I go, oh, my gosh.
Uh-huh. Well, our goal is since our very first day at our very first job, we always think, ooh, I want to retire early, and I'm going to travel the world, and I'm going to do this and that and the other thing. And you quickly run through your list of things I'm going to do within, what, a couple of years, a couple of months?
Well, and I think 2 years. And
yeah.
Then you say, gosh, I want to do something. I don't want to sit home and talk to you all the time.
Yeah.
I mean, it does get boring.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have enough to do.
Well, yeah, and you also, I think sometimes I hear people that kind of have that loss of value. You know, gosh, you know, you miss having to go into work because somebody was counting on you to do something. And
nobody's
now,
counting on you for anything.
Nothing.
That's right.
And so I would imagine it probably gets lonely inside your own head. And
unless you have 10 grandchildren, and then you will not be going back to work.
Then you'd be busy.
Every once in a while, somebody will tell me they have a whole house full of grandchildren.
Really?
And I just can't imagine.
Huh.
So it's people like, if they've had four children, you know, they may have 10 grandchildren.
That could be stressful.
It would be very stressful.
Then you want to go back to work just to get away from them.
That's right. Or a permanent vacation.
Permanent vacation. We're moving to Maui.
That's right.
We'll see you later.
It's like all these people moving to the Caribbean from Texas.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't understand it at all.
Are they moving permanently or just like a summer house? Really?
I've been watching it.
Wow.
They're moving to Honduras. They're moving everywhere. Belize. St. Troy.
Puerto Rico.
Puerto Rico. We did some about that. I don't understand it.
Are they staying there or are they coming back eventually?
I guarantee in 2 or 3 years they'll be back. Those islands are small.
Yeah, they are.
And it'll close in on you, I think, in a little while.
I would think so. You can stare at the water in the beach for a long time, and I'm sure it's beautiful.
It is
but
beautiful.
But at some point, you get restless.
Well, and some of them are so small you don't even have cars on there.
Yeah, you can bike.
Yeah, you bike everywhere.
Yeah.
You have one of those little motorbikes, you know. And it's most of it is mountains and then the ocean. Mountains and ocean. That's your two choices.
You get from one side of the island to the other in 45 minutes.
Oh, yeah.
At a whopping speed of 18 miles an hour.
That's about it.
Yeah.
And what is there to do? I mean, you can't snorkel every day.
No, no, you
can't. You cannot go in the water, I don't think.
It would be fun for a while.
It would.
But it runs its course.
But I think if you're from Texas, you'll be back.
Yeah. Well, this is the best place to be anyway.
It is. Texas is the best place on earth.
So what is a good age to retire? 60, 61, 62?
In reality, to me, it's 66, 67.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I think it's too early.
So what if somebody is, say they're 55 and they're not ready for retirement? What would you do? Say I come in, I'm 55, and I say I want to retire at 67. You're going to put together some long-term plan to get me where I need to be time.
In other words, we're going to figure out how many policies we're going to have to put you in and keep reinvesting to get you where you want to be.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I have a lot of people that we're on target.
And I would imagine probably some people are more aggressive to get to that point.
Yes.
And then after they retire, once they have that nice nest egg and they're ready to go, because you don't want to retire and then have to start making cuts to your lifestyle.
Nobody wants to do that.
No.
And I know I would never do it.
No. So once somebody retires, they're in that comfortable place, they keep investing, right? Because they've got
because we're going to send them checks. The ones that have retired early, that's all they're doing. They've already come in the first of the year and got a check for this year.
It's mailbox money.
It's mailbox money.
You get paid to do nothing except reinvest.
That's right. And they don't have to worry about it.
And it can go on forever.
They've been with us long enough. They know how it works. And when we call them and say, your money just hit the bank on another policy, they say, re-up it.
Wow. Just cool.
Put it in another policy.
That is fantastic.
It is.
It sounds like a very simple, easy process. The hardest part is just getting started.
It is. Quit procrastinating. Get off the couch.
All right. Let's make some money. Let's get ready for retirement, and let's get moving.
That's right. Get moving. Time is of the essence in reality.
Yes.
Because time's not going to stand still for any of us.
No, unfortunately.
We think it will, and it catches up with us.
Yes, it does. Yeah. And the older we get, the faster time goes.
That's what people tell me.
I don't understand that.
I don't
But it does. So what are we looking at for investments? What kind of availability is coming up in the next few weeks, months?
I think in the next 2 to 3 weeks, we'll have a lot of policies. I've been promised a lot. We're closing on a lot of them. And hopefully we'll get everybody fully invested again.
Cool. So we're bidding.
Before something else comes due again.
Well, yeah, really. You're bidding, you're investing, things are happening, the wheels are moving.
Yes.
Get on board. What kinds of things do people need to do? Say somebody wants to call you on Monday morning to make an appointment, but today is Saturday, they have today and tomorrow. What should they be doing in the next 48 hours?
Well, they should get their papers together. Mm-hmm. We need to see how much they're worth. We need to see where the money's going to come from. The bank will require that. The bank will want a statement of their holdings.
Okay.
So we need to get that done.
So if somebody just wants to come in for information, say they're not ready to get to that point,
all they have to do
they
is just
want to come
in and sit down and talk.
So you can actually walk in with nothing, have a list of questions.
Well,
that's
sure,
probably
you can
helpful.
Walk in without a thing.
Sure.
And just say, Faye, I need to talk to you.
Okay.
And then I'll send them home and say, go think about it.
Go think about it. Here's how it works. Talk it over with your spouse or come back with your spouse or whatever you want. It's really about whatever each person is comfortable with.
That's right. You have to be comfortable with us. You have to come in and say, well, do I like Faye or not? Do I want to do business with her?
Yeah.
And if you're comfortable, we'd love to have you.
All right. So the phone number is
877-588-3330. And we're 3105 Big Spring, right next to Ivy Cottage.
You've been listening to Your Money with Faye Bagby, sound advice to help your money grow. Listen for Your Money with Faye Bagby every Saturday morning at 10 here on 97 Gold.
This program has been a paid presentation for American Financial and Retirement Services, LLC, and has been brought to you by American Financial and Retirement Services, LLC. The opinions expressed on the program by the host, host guest, and call-in listeners are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not represent the opinions of management of this station or Brazos Communications West, LLC, who bear no responsibility or liability for the program's content. The purpose of this radio program is intended to inform the public on financial planning issues and investment products for qualified individuals and investors. Many of the topics and opinions discussed may be of a personal nature, and some people may disagree with or find opinions expressed on this program objectionable. Before you invest, you should consult with financial advisors and review the program prospectus and its risks.